This is audio of the contact notes from the translated Maya contacts from contact 218 to 229. The text can be found on the web. 218 contact. Saturday, May 30, 1987, 12:02 a.m. Translator's note: the following portion of this contact conversation was translated into English by Dyson Devine and Vivienne Legg. Billy: nice that you have come, my friend, because I have a great need to leave the globe somewhat. Somehow, everything here depresses me, and I feel that the world is crushing me and that I am completely robbed of my freedom. If I may ask you, take me into your ship and zoom with me for 2 or 3 hours somewhat out into free space, where I can see the stars and the galaxies in the expanse of the universe. That will certainly help me and bring in a peace, the feeling of freedom, quiet and calm back to me again. Quetzal, 1. As a matter of fact, your appearance terrifies me. 2. But I also know why you are so downcast and are so very depressed, because I watched everything as you were so viciously tormented and insulted by your wife. 3. On one hand, to me, it is all completely incomprehensible and strange how your wife carries on and revolts against you in such a way, insults and torments you, and on the other hand I would never have thought that she could be so scurrilous and degenerate. 4. But actually, I have never looked deeper into this matter, nor have any of us, because we do not want to violate your private sphere. 5. But today, this happened unexpectedly and inadvertently, because I wanted to seek you out on a private basis, and because of that, I paused over the center house in order to see if you are well enough to have a conversation with me in regard to a certain matter. 6. Now after everything that I have seen and heard, I must completely revise my opinion in regard to your wife, which indeed all those others of us must also do, who myself evidently must orientate about the truth and reality. 7. For my part, I still want to make the comment about this, that your wife has carried on like the fury, the mythological, raving, furious, and terror-disseminating Roman goddess of vengeance, and that is absolutely unworthy of a human kind of female. 8. And, with her, that it actually concerns a core group member, makes everything still very much worse, more incomprehensible and more unworthy. 9. Moreover, she herself, in particular, should already have long since been taught something better and should have learnt much, since she, indeed, stands directly at the source of the teachings and the knowledge and she knows about the actual contacts with us. 10. Moreover, in this regard, she herself has been permitted to witness many events and so forth, consequently, she should long ago have turned to a better, more reasonable and more human way of behavior. 11. Naturally, we knew, and indeed already many years before the contacts were taken up with you in the 40s, that she, in view of her upbringing, her demeanor and thinking, as well as in regard to her behavior and so forth, would bring you much tribulation, suffering and pain, because that would be required for your development and the unfolding of your energy for the fulfillment of your mission. 12. Yet we actually did not know that everything would be so very bad, as I now myself, as a silent observer, had to witness. 13. For my part, I do not understand how you cope with all that and have never complained and that you continue to stay with your wife and you do not part from her. 14. You would have really had every ground for that with a clear conscience and with justification. Billy, you are a very dear friend to me, Quetzal. You know many things about me, yet you also do not know many things about me, as is precisely now also the case with the relationship about which you have spoken. On one hand, I always give every human another chance to change to the better, to make something good again, or to correct a mistake, until that also actually then has happened or until I finally must acknowledge that every chance will be senselessly, scornfully, malevolently, wantonly or uncomprehendingly wasted. But many months or many years and even decades can pass until this point in time, and I only give up if I can see no more help and no more possibility that a goal would, indeed, still be obtainable. But I have never yet reached such a state of giving up because in this regard, my patience is very extensive. Quetzal, 15. We all know that. 16. And your patience, in association with your endurance, is indeed also the decisive factor through which you are able to carry out your mission. Billy, that may be, yet I still actually wanted to say something more. See, in regards to my wife, I affirmed that I will stand by her in good as well as bad times. That may be only an unconsidered and empty phrase for many humans in the case of their marriage or other occasions, not, however, for me, because I actually contemplated these words and this promise very precisely before it had progressed such that I could stand by them with a clear conscience. My thoughts in this regard already began with Sfith, and it was, consequently, already clear to me as a boy what these words and this promise actually signify in their sense and what value they have hidden within them. Therefore, the recognition as well as the conviction and the decision matured in me that, during my entire life, come what may, I would never break my word or promise. What is more, I am still able to remember that this resolution arose in me sometime in the month of April or May after my 7th birthday. Anyway, the dandelions, the lady's smock, as well as many other flowers, were blooming in the meadows. Everything was also blooming in the gardens. Also the hawthorn bushes and various bushes of all kinds were in glorious full bloom, as well as the cherry trees, pear trees and apple trees. The sun shone splendidly warm from a cloudless azure blue sky and a fabulous twittering of birds was all around. Therefore, I then reached the decision that I will never break my word or promise. And I also hold to that in relation to my wife as well as in relation to every other human. That will also remain that way, and indeed, even if everything gets even worse with my cannibalin. Translator's note, Billy has generously shared with us many of his older poems in his 2004 book, 61 Jarj Edicts Prakaphorismen, 61 Years of Poems Sayings Aphorisms. From there, we learn, from many touching love poems written for his beloved Calliope, that Cannibalan was one of Billy's affectionate nicknames for his wife, along with Cannibalan Kind, Agapula and Agapimo. I can, in regard to her, as well as in regard to every other human, only then step back from my word and promise if she herself breaks her word and promise and goes her own way without me. On my part, I can, therefore, never break a word or promise that I have given, nor indeed if there are bad consequences for me. Quetzal, 17. I did not know that, my friend, yet I find that you should at least defend yourself. 18. It could actually have come out very badly since your wife had, with great strength, flung the knives and forks in your face over the kitchen table. 19. You could have been killed by the kilogram weight of the crystal ashtray which she hurled, right across the whole kitchen, at your head. 20. I will heal your wounds and swelling when we are in my flying device. 21. But then, let us now go. 22. Later, when you feel better again, we can catch up on that about which I wanted to talk to you. 23. First, I now want to fulfill your long-held wish for you. Billy, thank you for your caring. I can well use it, because my skull thunders and rumbles with 1,000 imps. But which wish do you mean, because I have several of them that surely will, however, never be fulfilled. Quetzal, 24. I can feel for you regarding your headache, but you will soon be free of it. 25. I am thinking in regard to your wish, being that you would like to plunge into the deep sea and observe the deep sea animals. Billy, we can do that today. Quetzal, 26. That is of correctness. 27. Let us go now. Billy, is that possible, then, with your beamship, and where will we dive into the deep sea? Quetzal, 28. All of our flying devices are suited for diving processes, whereby due to our pressure protection screens, there are no limits set for the depth. 29. We will dive into the depths of the Atlantic as well as the Pacific. Billy, so. I am ready. On arrival in Quetzal's beamship, he treats the various scratches as well as the wounds and the swelling on my head. Within minutes, everything is healed, and also the buzzing and the hammering in my skull, as well as the headaches, are gone. Then, we zoom out into the world's free space, where we spend around 50 minutes, whereby I feel better and better and freer, and I can also rid myself of my depression. Meanwhile, practically nothing is said because I am occupied with my thoughts, which Quetzal quite obviously does not want to interrupt. Then, Quetzal flies his beamship back to Earth and over the Atlantic, then to descend into the depths of the sea. Then, we hover over the spongy sea bottom, and Quetzal moves the beamship, which indeed has now become a diving ship, slowly along. The beamship glows externally in radiating brilliance and lights up the pitch black darkness in a broad circumference. Not much is said thereby because I devote my entire attention to everything I can see during one full hour in the deep sea. Thereafter, this also applies for the deep sea dive in the Pacific, which, however, only lasts 25 minutes. In regard to the living things, there is not exactly much to see in the deepest depths because creatures appear only in isolation, in small form, whereby for me, however, they are exotic, as are also those in the higher areas of the water. Many of these living things are self-luminous, in greenish or whitish light. I can only observe bigger life forms extremely sporadically, each and every one of which is of a strange form, though seen by me, at any rate. Still more seldom, gigantic animals emerge out of the darkness of the deep sea, as, for example, whitish and reddish as well as brownish giant squid and dark grey or black snake-shaped creatures, which I estimate to be 15 to 20 meters long and 4 to 5 meters in diameter. Also, in three different locations, three single gigantic forms of life emerge, which I initially designate as deep sea whales. However, Quetzal will instruct me that it deals with so-called sleeping sharks, the existence of which is not yet known to terrestrial humans. The smallest of the three I estimate to be some 10 meters long, while the two others are some 2 to 3 meters longer. But there are, among many other very interesting things, also the black chimneys, aka black smokers, of which Quetzal had once spoken, and he said that they are the essential origin of the later forms of life on the Earth, in water, air and land, along with inclusions from outer space through comets, meteors and asteroids. In these black chimneys from which pitch black swathes, which are impregnated with sulfur and various materials, rise up, emerged early branches of bacteria which, as they rose out of the chimneys, were released and began the evolutionary work of life. But that, says Quetzal, is all still unknown to the terrestrial scientists. What is still interesting with this observation of the black chimneys is the fact that in their nearer and further surroundings, swarms of enormous numbers of large and snow-white creatures, which I simply designate as giant or oversized scampi, aka shrimp/prawns, bustle about on the sulfurous rocks or on the other steep rocks. Leaving the deep sea and after a few minutes back again in my office, it is precisely 3:17 a.m. as I look at the clock. Billy, I would like to thank you very much for everything, my friend. My son, the whole thing was an exceptionally special experience for me, for which many scientists would envy me. Translator's note, this concludes the portion of the contact that was translated by Dyson Devine and Vivienne Legg. The rest is my own translation. Quetzal, 30. It was a special honor and a joy for me to be allowed to fulfill your long-cherished wish. Billy, I am honored by that, but you still must be sure of my gratitude. May I now ask you a few things? You know, I only go to bed around the early morning, and thus, if you still have time? Quetzal, 31. For the next 4 days, I have my free time. Therefore, you may heedlessly take 1 or 2 hours from me, and thus, you can raise your questions. Billy, some time ago, you told me what you call your Plegeran language, as well as the intercosmic language and the language of the people, to whom Monaro belongs, You mentioned specific names, but they have all escaped me again. Please mention them to me again. Quetzal, 32. The Plejuran language, we call Sarat, the intercosmic language, we designate as Kozn, and the language of the people, to whom Manara belongs, we call Jenan Nordiran language. Billy, exactly, those were the names of the languages. Thank you. Before the end of the 70s, there was talk, with you, Samjace, and Tua, about the fact that in almost 1,000 years, a great danger from space will threaten the Earth. If I remember everything correctly, you spoke of a large meteor or asteroid or of a comet. Yet also in this respect, I am no longer familiar with everything, which is why I would be grateful to you if you could give me some details about this danger again. Afterward, I was asked about this by several people, because some years ago, I gave answers to questions, which you had explained to me. Now, in relation to this, questions have even arisen recently. At that time, there was also talk of the fact that also in about 1,000 years, the magnetic pole of the Earth would be shifted southward from the north in such a way that it would then be located in the area of Mecca in Saudi Arabia. Quetzal, 33. That is correct. 34. The magnetic north pole, and with it, of course, also the south pole, is shifting from the north to the south in the direction specified by you. 35. And the magnetic north pole must already be searched for in the area of Greenland. 36. This is due to the Earth's internal shifts and displacements of the most diverse interplanetary layers, as well as powerful variations in the Earth's innermost hot, liquid mass, through which the actual geomagnetism is produced. Billy, the interplanetary layers, this belongs to the field of the geologists who deal with earthly tectonics, that is with geotectonics, right? This is a branch of science of geology, which deals with the construction of the Earth's crust, the storage conditions of the rock strata and other layers of the Earth, their variations over the course of time of geologic history, as well as with the causes that trigger such storage variations, if I still correctly remember what I learned in school. Quetzal, 37. Your memory is as good as ever. 38. Your statement corresponds to the truth. 39. But concerning your first question, 40. Our talk was about an asteroid. 41. If the conditions relating to the orbit of the asteroid change, then in nearly 1,000 years, more exactly said, in exactly 893 years, in mid-March of the year 2880, this could come very close to the Earth or even endanger it through an impact or through a too close flyby. 42. In any case, this asteroid, which was already discovered by terrestrial astronomers in 1950 and which received the designation 1950 DA, will at least come in very dangerous proximity to the Earth, namely within the orbit of the Moon, at a distance to Earth of about 260,000 to 300,000 kilometers. 43. However, if changes in the course of the asteroid should arise, which can always be a probability due to cosmic as well as sol planetary influences, etc., then a closer, very close, or even a more distant flyby is possible, whereby even the Moon could, perhaps, enter into the path of the asteroid. 44. The possibilities are always very many, through which the courses of meteors, comets, asteroids, wandering planets, and clouds of energy, as well as clouds of matter, etc., can be changed in their journey or in their drifting through space. 45. However, by the year 2880, the technological capabilities developed by the Earth people will be able to counteract the threatening catastrophe, namely in the form that the asteroid, which is a little more than 1,000 meters in diameter, can be forced away from its Earth-endangering course. Billy, yes, that is the information that you gave to me. But now, to something else. Over and over again, heinous ones appear, claiming that they have had contacts with you or else with some extraterrestrials and that they would have been promised that the extraterrestrials would bring salvation to the Earth and to the Earth people. As a rule, these heinous ones who make such assertions are some sect bosses or delusional believers and lunatics of other natures, who lie their heads off and promise their believers and followers that the extraterrestrials will come with spaceships and save all of those or at least a part of those, who believe in the hypocritical horror stories of the bringing of salvation through extraterrestrials, and will take them to a nicer, more peaceful, and better planet in safety. The heinous ones who invent and maintain such stories, partly due to pure addiction to profit, delusional faith, confusion, or craziness, try to convey to their followers who are enslaved to them and to their believers that the extraterrestrials would allegedly take their own responsibility from them and send them rescue. Quetzal, 46. That is well known to us. 47. All evil means are right to these liars, swindlers, and deceivers, in order to bind those who are enslaved to them and their believers to themselves. 48. But the truth is that neither we nor any other earth foreigners exercise the role of the bringers of salvation. 49. Neither we nor others bring teachings of salvation to the earth and, thus, to the earth people, for any teaching of salvation is of a religious and sectarian nature and only serves to make those who believe there independent and enslaved, in order to subjugate them, to exploit them, and also to cause them to remain faithful to the relevant religion or sect. 50. In addition, each teaching of salvation is designed to drive the believers and those who are enslaved into erroneous teachings and into the mistaken belief that all their offenses, wrong lifestyles, and injustices, as well as the harming of fellow human beings, can receive lenient treatment and can easily be forgotten, and thus, they would be forgiven by the bringers of salvation. 51. It is in the tricked believers and the enslaved that the responsibility for anything and everything would lie in a predetermination or present determination with the extraterrestrials or just with God the Creator, who should allegedly exist and who should determine and direct everything. 52. Thus, the religious believers, sect believers, delusional believers, and others are forcefully kept, by unfair, misguided elements, etc., through lies, swindle, and deception, from bearing and perceiving their own responsibility for anything and everything that always arises in life. 53. The belief in salvation-bringing extraterrestrials, in any salvation-bringing teaching, or in a salvation-bringing God, who should also still be just, as well as full of love, understanding, and willingness to help, corresponds to the imagination of profit-minded people who, originally, had deliberately designed their created erroneous teachings in order to gather believers and enslaved ones around themselves, whom they could exploit in every respect, in order to be able to lead lives of joy and glory through them. 54. And since ancient times, there have always been enough fools, who let others think for them instead of giving themselves the trouble of thinking, of reasoning, and of the pursuit of truth and the recognition of actuality and, thus, reality, for it was always easier for them to shift the responsibility for anything and everything onto others or onto extraterrestrials or simply onto a God-creator, that is a creator God, in order, then, to take the path of least resistance and the path of least effort, as well as the path of laziness. 55. And there are still such people on the earth today, unfortunately still in large quantities. 56. But if the earth person really wants to experience a salvation, then he must get this himself, in that he laboriously acquires it himself. 57. But this means that he must turn to the truth and reality and must perceive his own responsibility in every respect and must bear it and fulfill it. 58. In this meaning, it is given to be recognized that neither extraterrestrials nor a God creator, neither a teaching of salvation, a religion or sect, nor any lunatic, spinner, delusional believer, divine one, inspired one, guru, master, or exalted one by his own grace, etc. brings any salvation, rather, only every single person can acquire this for himself, in reference to his own personality, his conduct and his lifestyle, his behavior, his love, his inner and outer peace, his balance and harmony, his knowledge, his wisdom and evolution, and his entire progress in consciousness related in material form. Billy, man, son, that was quite a speech, and indeed, one that makes a lot of sense. I am just surprised that you use words like lunatic and spinner. That is not your style. Quetzal, 59. The designations come from your vocabulary, and I think that they give the right character to my explanation. Billy, ah, that is accepted and also clear. Now, once again a question that relates to the black hole phenomenon. Our astronomical science still isn't clear as to whether black holes actually exist. Quetzal, 60. About that, I may not explain too much because there is still a fairly long time needed before the astronomical scientists of Earth are in a position to understand these important things. 61. So it will extend into the third millennium before they will be ready to gain the necessary understanding for this and to evaluate it properly. 62. First, they still must attain many other insights through researches, in order to be able to understand everything bit by bit in all contexts. Billy, but in broad terms, you could still deal with it? Quetzal, 63. Well, but I may not actually explain too much. 64. So, 65. In every galaxy, a black hole exists at its center. 66. But there are still black holes that have their existence in free space, which are stationary, so to speak, while others wander through free space, as this is also the case with regard to black clouds, that is dark clouds of matter, which are simply called dark clouds by the earthly scientists of astronomy. 67. The so-called black holes actually have nothing to do with a hole, for in truth, these concern very coarse material formations of matter of enormous sizes, which originally result from giant collapsed suns, as well as partially from collapsed galaxies. 68. Such events likewise occur over and over again, at the present time and also in the future, somewhere in the far reaches of the universal matter belt, which is erroneously regarded and designated as the actual and entire universe by the earthly scientists of astronomy, although, this consists of six other belts, so therefore, there are seven. 69. But back to black holes, 70. These developed, that is resulted, from the collapsing of suns of immense sizes as well as from the collapsing of galaxies, in which a black hole was already present, however. 71. Through a collapsing, the entire mass of the collapsing sun or galaxy is so tremendously strongly pressed together, that is compressed, that a small quantity of only 1 cubic centimeter of matter weighs several tons. 72. And so, this compressed matter, of course, also generates a powerful gravitational field, by which tremendous masses of matter are attracted and drawn into the black hole, that is into the compression body, by what means this slowly but steadily grows and becomes larger. 73. This growing, of course, also means that the gravitational field continues to become stronger and further reaching. 74. In your galaxy, which you call the Milky Way, the gravitational field extends far beyond 100,000 light years in diameter. 75. From this, it can also be recognized that a galaxy first emerges from an existing black hole. 76. Through its gravitational field, it draws, that is tears, very far off nebulae, gases, dust particles, suns, and planets, as well as meteors, comets, and asteroids, etc. into its spell, and then, everything within many light years of distance begins to rotate around this black hole, from which a galaxy is ultimately formed, whose entire mass rotates at tremendous speed, in a bar-shaped, spiral-shaped, or any other form, around the center, even around the black hole. 77. During this process, it naturally happens that through the compressed core, that is through the black hole, the torn-in matter gradually makes the core more and more powerful, and ultimately, it swallows the entire galaxy, which will also happen someday with the Milky Way. 78.